The trial for 17-year-old Clinton Ross, his buddies Timothy Norwood and Richard Weibark, both 18 years old, had been tentatively scheduled to begin today. The plea agreements negotiated last week eliminated the unknown of jury verdicts in separate trials and closed initial court proceedings in the case. The teen's statements made to sheriff's officers after last July's assault were accepted by the court as the factual basis for their guilty pleas. They were 16 and 17 then. They told officers they'd been drinking beer by the river that hot July day, then went driving around, quote, looking for somebody to kick their ass. Two young guys walking down Traskwood Road were the victims. One got away. Kevin Thornton did not and died a week later of his injuries. Reporter Steve Good has been to the scene, where a white cross with blue silk flowers is attached to a tree.
When I was able to look at that scene, it really pointed home the fact that these kids had nowhere to run, get away from any attack on them whatsoever because of the topography of the land.
Two double-locked gates, reminiscent of old cattle crossings, are directly beside and behind the cross, as well as
barbed wire fence on each side of the road and a heavy tree line, and there was simply nowhere for them to go.
As KTOO reported a week ago, the boys were sentenced as adults, Norwood and Rybark for second-degree murder, and Ross for aggravated assault for chasing but not catching Thornton's friend, Jerry Haynes. Ross is the youngest of the trio. He will spend the next 5 years on probation. He has had to pledge to stay alcohol and drug-free and will be randomly tested for drugs during his probation. He must have a job or attend school and stick to a number of other restrictions.
He will be serving that time in the community. He will not have any electronic monitoring. Basically, he will be treated as, although he's 17, any other adult probationer that they supervise.
His sentence could have been 6 years in prison, in addition to 5 years probation.
He was fined $1,000, $150 of court cost, and a $250 DNA collection fee. He will begin paying those fines in 30 days, and if he gets in arrears, he can be sent to prison.
Norwood and Weibark will have to pay similar fines and fees when they are released from prison. Ross had just finished ninth grade prior to last year's assault and had been convicted of crimes as a juvenile, according to statements by his attorney in open court. Weibark was a senior in high school last July and reported receiving school counseling for anger issues. He had no previous run-ins with the law. Norwood had minor theft charges.
It was stated in open court that he basically got into trouble after his father passed away a couple of years ago.
Earlier this year, during mental evaluations of all three boys, Ross and Weibark admitted to using alcohol to excess, especially on weekends. They reported consuming between 10 and 15 beers on the day of the assault. In the spring, Norwood and Weibark were each released to their parents on $40,000 bond. The court also approved Ross's release, but his family was unable to post the bond. Good says throughout the case, Ross's large family appeared in court for every hearing. Two toddlers were quite vocal at their 17-year-old uncle's sentencing.
It was kind of poignant. They couldn't understand at any of these proceedings why they couldn't run over and hug his neck.
Norwood was sentenced after Ross. He arrived with family members, including his mother and an uncle, who had attended all the hearings. Good says he looked directly at Judge Kuhn, then spoke in a clear, strong voice. "I didn't mean for it to happen," he said. "All I can say is I'm sorry." Weibark was sentenced last. When asked if he wished to speak, he mumbled a comment that was inaudible to most of the courtroom.
All I could catch of the 15 or 20 seconds that it lasted was the fact that I'm truly sorry.
Weibark's father and stepmother also attended all the hearings. At his sentencing, his birth mother was in the courtroom for the first time since her son had been charged.
It broke down into tears as he was being handcuffed and led off. She also was sobbing when the judge sentenced him to the 20-year term.
Before the court worked out the terms of the plea agreements, 3 days had been set aside this week in Hot Spring County Circuit Court before Judge Edward Kuhn. If the agreements had not been reached, Good says it was clear the case would be dragged out for months due to several issues. The first goes back to Weibark's arrest and interview by a Hot Spring County Sheriff's officer. His stepmother was present and witnessed his statement, a motion before the court called to suppress the statement because his stepmother had never legally adopted him.
The position of the defense was that the law is quite clear that she had no legal standing to do that, so therefore the evidence should be suppressed. And if the judge had ruled against that, that would have formed at least one basis for an interlocutory appeal. They would have to go up and come down the appellate court system before the trial could have proceeded.
Due to the plea agreements, Judge Kuhn never ruled on the suppression of evidence motions. The Thornton family was also involved in plea negotiations. Good says Bill Thornton signed the agreements just before last Wednesday's proceedings started. After sentencing, Weibark and Norwood were taken into custody in the courtroom, handcuffed, and transported to the Hot Spring County Jail for intake. They will be assigned to the appropriate prison based on the level of the offense, security, and their potential for work. The 18-year-olds must serve at least 10 of their 20-year sentences before they are eligible for parole. For Court Watch, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.